get us underway. God, I'm actually disturbed to talk about this, if I'm honest.
Think of it as live therapy.
It is live therapy. There's no mistaking it. That's what we're witnessing here right now. Hello, welcome to Movies You Should See. This week we're reviewing the 1992, not really a film, Ghostwatch. I'm joined here.
I second that sigh.
Yeah, I'm joined here by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hi.
Laura's here.
Hello.
Scott's here.
Hello, everybody.
And Rob's here too.
Hello.
We're going to talk about Ghostwatch because this is our Halloween special. That was my spooky voice. Did you hear that?
It was wonderful.
Thank you.
It was scarier than the movie.
I need a thunderclap sound effect. Something like that. If I was better organized, I'd have prepared ahead of time. Imagine a thunderclap after I did that. It's the moment's gone. Yeah, the moment's gone now. I'll let it go. So, this was the year I made everybody watch Ghostwatch. Because it was just a Halloween thing. You want to do a Halloween film, don't you? You've got to do a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
We've done Halloween. So that's kind of off the cards. Incidentally, Halloween 2 is the most unfindable movie ever. It's on nothing. I've never seen it still. And I want to see it so much, but all I can get is a VHS copy from Amazon.
You probably need the box set.
A VHS set.
I don't understand.
Like cassettes. Oh, that won't help, will it? You young folk today.
I understand both cassettes and VHSs. I'm just taking the piss.
I know.
They still sell things like that.
Do you remember Laserdisc, Ian?
No, I don't.
No, not many people do.
I do.
They were a fantastically awful idea, weren't they?
I miss Laserdisc.
Yes.
Size of a 12-inch vinyl, but it works like a CD, and you have to turn it over. Brilliant.
Okay, then.
Yeah, brilliant idea. Brilliant. Anyway, Ghostwatch. This isn't really a film. This is an hour and a half. It's feature length. There's my defense. It's a feature length one-off BBC Halloween special that was on once ever in 1992. This predates all the crap ghost hunting programs that are on TV now, which I think somehow has desensitized me to Ghostwatch, right? I personally have a lot of history with this show in that I watched it in 1992 and I really did sleep with the lights on for a year. I'm not in any way making that up. Who would make that up?
Well, to be fair, this is the show that gave children PTSD and unfortunately caused the death of a mentally ill person.
I was one of those kids, I think. Seriously, a year with the lights on. This was... What staggers me now is how tame it is by today's standards. I've seen actual films that are far more frightening than Ghostwatch.
Rich, how old would you have been when you saw this?
13.
Really? Oh, right, okay.
Ish. I was a very sensitive young person.
Good age, okay. Good age.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is as well, you would have been probably duped into it because it features then children's television presenters.
Well,
so your parents would go, yeah, children's TV presenters are in it. You can come and watch this little horror show.
No. I have to. It's even less. It's worse than that, actually, because I didn't watch it live. I watched it the next day after my dad had watched it and videoed it. I watched it in the daylight being told this isn't real. At no point actually drew me in. From before it first started, I knew it was made up. But still, a year with the light on. A year.
Well, hang on.
Let's go around the virtual table and find out what everybody thinks with a little brief synopsis of your experience of Ghostwatch. I'd like to start with Scott, if I may, because as the American here, you've never encountered this.
No, I never heard of it even once. before you told us we were going to be doing it for this episode. So unfortunately, with it being the age of the internet, there was absolutely no chance of me thinking that this was an actual news broadcast that had just been preserved. It was put right up front. This is all fake. This is like War of the Worlds. This was one of the inspirations for the Blair Witch Project years later. So I found myself, while I was watching it, thinking, did anyone actually fall for this, thinking that it was real? Because I assume I'm right in that the or some of the presenters on the show were actual broadcasters at the time, just playing themselves. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone was. Michael Parkinson was, is still, and has always been an incredibly famous interviewer. There's always been the Michael Parkinson show where he just interviews famous people, and there's so many really famous interviews from that show that people know that are sort of intrinsic in our culture. Him fronting a show for the BBC was perfectly fine. There was nothing out of place. Sarah Green, as Rob said, was a children's TV presenter. She presented Blue Peter while I was growing up, which is just one of the most important. It's Blue Peter is as important as Mr. Rogers is to you guys. Not the same kind of show as such, but that same level of, if you were a child in Britain, you saw Blue Peter, and okay, that's all there is to it. And it's been going since my parents were little, and it's still on probably three times a week now. And Mike Smith, her husband, was sort of at the time, so late 80s, early 90s, was the king of the Saturday night 7:30 slot, where it was kind of whole family, wholesome entertainment, variety show, dancing, singing, magic tricks, bit of a quiz, that kind of thing. And he was married to Sarah Green, and they were sort of this wonderful couple of happy, wholesome television. There was nothing suspect about this program whatsoever when it was first broadcast.
And it seemed to me while I was watching it, though, I could tell that at those three for sure were performing in this particular broadcast their actual jobs. They were doing what they normally do every day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and see, now I feel a little bit harsh in that I'm impugning the acting ability of people that are in fact not really actors, but they're broadcasters, which is different.
And they're playing themselves technically.
Right.
They're not even acting, really. They're just reading the words that are there written down for them, which I understand is basically acting, but I'm just not communicating what I feel is the difference very well.
I could hear your back bump against the wall of that corner that you talked yourself into there. but to try to boil it down and not ramble on too much, I did enjoy it. It seemed somewhat transparent as a put on, but that's probably due to the fact that it's at this point over 20 years old. That's just how things were done back then. But looking past that layer of it, while I wasn't frightened, I did find it very interesting. I really liked the concept. I kind of wish that someone would try it again these days and succeed in keeping it a secret until it was aired.
I think it could be done really well nowadays. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot since then. Laura, what did you feel about this? Because I was thinking of changing the show title to Let's Scare Laura with films that she wouldn't ever normally want to watch. Because I feel we've done this to you twice now.
Yeah. Yeah, I sat down to watch this yesterday and worked myself up into a state because of what you'd said about it, and then was a bit disappointed. I tried to sort of see it from, I would have been 10 when this was on originally, so I tried to sort of see it from that point of view, and I think it probably would have really scared me when I was a kid, but I just couldn't get over how it seemed really amateur, which seems weird because it was Michael Parkinson and Sarah Green. And like you say to me, they're sort of they should add an air of credibility to it, really. But I don't know, it just didn't. Maybe it's because it was from so long ago. Well, it was so long ago.
And sadly. Craig Charles, we keep forgetting Craig Charles as well.
Yeah, but he seemed to just be laughing all the way through it. It was like he just couldn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Which I know was sort of the point, but it was beyond his, you know, it wasn't just a part that he was playing. It was almost as if he was like, yeah, this is a bit silly. There were bits of it that were quite creepy. But yeah, it wasn't as horrifying as I thought it was going to be. After what you'd said,
I was prepared to
sleep with the lights on and everything, and I didn't.
I've made myself look like a bit of a wuss now, haven't I?
Well, no, because I think if I'd watched it when I was a kid, I would have been that scared. But now I'm 30 and I've seen worse than that, and I'm...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just not... It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
I mean, this is basically an episode of Most Haunted with Yvette Fielding and Derek Acora, isn't it, really? We've seen this 3 times a week on UK Living or whatever it's on now. So it's definitely lost its edge. Robert, we'll come back. Robert, what do you think? What did you feel about this? You're the horror fan here.
I thought it was fantastic, and that's no word of a lie. I loved it. I'm very pleased to have watched it, so thank you very much for that.
Okay.
I'm quite the opposite of Laura. I thought it was very well done. I thought it was amateurish enough looking to convincingly convey a live broadcast, if that makes sense. Like the dodgy camera work and the stumbling over links and people's lines, I think just added more to the atmosphere of it all, really. And I was aware that Pipes the Ghost would be appearing several times. And I had great fun looking out for the appearance of Pipes the Ghost in the background here, or hiding amongst the crowd, or flashes of him in the static at certain points. So I really liked it. I thought everyone was on really good form, perhaps not so much Sarah Green or the lady who played the parapsychologist. She seemed a bit wooden, but I really enjoyed it. And the thing I appreciated about it was the fact this was like the BBC, and I couldn't believe the balls they must have had to do this. Everyone calls them Ante, and it's, you know, a bit of a British institution, and Michael Parkinson is a national treasure. And there they are, just, you know, causing children to have mental breakdowns after a show not long after the Watershed.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The BBC is just the most trusted source of anything in the world, as far as we're concerned. And for them to play a prank on us, particularly one that is so dark and twisted, is just completely unexpected.
It's fantastic. Like, that's why it works so well, because it is the Beeb. And, you know, it must have been... I mean, it did literally blow people's minds, because that's why there's such a strong reaction to it. I also think it was well ahead of its time, because as soon as I saw those shots of the kids in the bedroom, I immediately thought, well, Paranormal Activity is just kind of being retroactively shat all over by Michael Parkinson.
Yeah.
Because it has completely predated any kind of found footage format. Apart from, obviously, Cannibal Holocaust from the 70s. But other than that, this predates everything.
I really felt, watching it again, that it really preempted a lot of television that was going to come out of it. Mm. That said, maybe that had this not existed, all of that television wouldn't have happened.
Maybe, well, Darren Brown said he's massively influenced by it, didn't he?
I didn't know Darren Brown had said that.
Yeah, he apparently has hugely influenced it, as were the makers of the Blair Witch Project and all those kind of movies.
Right.
And the Blair Witch Project's one of the most influential films of the last, you know, 15, 20 years, so.
Yeah. I ruined it for myself by watching it with the director's commentary, but when it came out, it was, that scared a lot of people a lot.
It's a film that's cool to hate at the moment, but I still think it's a cracking movie. But Ghostwatch, what I like about it is there is this specter that hangs over it. It's very much like The Crow has this possibly literally a ghost hanging over it, and it does have the atmosphere. Retroactively, it has this atmosphere of terror and awful things happening to people in real life, which does add something to watching it with that knowledge.
So, Ian? Is he there?
Can you hear me? Yeah?
I can now.
Sorry.
We thought pipes got wires.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine. I thought it was very, very much of its time. I was too small to watch it when it broadcast the first time. I think I was about 4 years old when it broadcast. So it was the very first time I'd seen it. And certainly the last 20 minutes of it, I can see how it would absolutely terrify kids. I thought the first half of it was funny, crap funny. But I enjoyed watching it. I wouldn't necessarily say it was good, but it was fun.
Fair enough. Okay, let's have at it then.
Can I just weigh in? I do agree that there are bits of it, like Ian said, towards the end, the last sort of 20 minutes, there were bits of it that were really creepy, and it was I think those bits of it were well done. The actual, the bit where they show the video and then they get people calling in and saying they think they can see the man in the curtain, and then when they show it again, you can definitely see someone there, and then they show it again and you can't quite see him again. All these little bits like that were really well done. And they're the good bits, because they're the bits that it's not blatant, it's creepy, so it does scare you. It's not, you're not quite sure if it's there or it's something a bit weird. But I thought Sarah Green was terrible.
I have to agree.
I thought the mother was pretty wooden. I didn't really think that she was a particularly good actress. And the parapsychologist as well, I agree that she was pretty bad as well. Mm. And because of that, I found it, and because I knew it wasn't real, that really took me out of it quite a lot. And then right at the end, where it all just went absolutely nuts, I just thought it just went a little bit too far. Right at the end, it was just a bit sort of, I don't know, maybe it was because I knew it wasn't real and it just went.
The bit where it lost it for me, I agree, Laura, at the end was when the wind started blowing in the studio. Yeah. I was for me, it completely had me up until that point. And yes, it was a bit ropey. And yes, you know, it was a television show, not a feature film. And yes, it was starring presenters, not actors. But it really had me right up until someone switched on a wind fan in the studio.
It lost me about three or four minutes later when all of the power went out in the studio, yet there was still a camera and a mic working for Michael Parkinson. Yeah.
And the auto cue as well. The auto cue was still working.
They actually lost me right at the beginning when they're showing the footage of the two girls in bed, and it's supposed to be this locked off security camera sort of thing. And as things were happening, it panned around the room as if it was blatantly actually worked by a cameraman. And that just the only way, even if that was a surveillance camera on a remote control, the only way that shot was being achieved was by a man with a camera in the room. And of course that didn't happen.
So in a way that perhaps made it work for me. Because I thought, well, I'll lower my expectations because that's just happened. And after lowering them, I think I was probably quite pleased with what came after.
Fair enough. Scott, what were you saying?
I noticed several times throughout the show that there were very convenient camera placements, camera moves, and camera cuts. The type of which you're not going to get unless it's planned out beforehand. not the sort of thing that a live broadcast would be able to catch on the fly. The camera is always in the right spot to get exactly the right thing. So that broke the illusion for me a little bit. And as we were talking before with the wind fan in the studio, that threw me off a little bit. I know that there was a moment earlier in the show when my best friend, she was with me as we were watching this, and both of us kind of had to stop and regroup a little bit after the constant use of the term glory hole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was going to bring that up.
That was a little bit hard to get past.
This time.
I did do a little Googling on that. I did find out that it wasn't until later that the term glory hole came to mean what it means today. And so they didn't know what they were doing.
Perhaps that's another influence of the show Ghostwatch.
That's actually a little disturbing. I find
its legacy continues in gay bars up and down the country.
Yes, I find it interesting in the trivia that this actually suffered from the same phenomenon as the War of the Worlds radio broadcast, in that a lot of the hysteria was caused by people tuning in late, and that they at no point really pretended this was real. It was billed as a drama. It was in the Radio Times magazine as a drama. It had a written by at the beginning.
Mm.
They were not really, hand on heart, playing a trick on us. But the trouble was that there was a film on ITV that everyone was watching that hadn't quite finished before this started. So everyone turned over thinking that what they were watching was going out live. And that's what caused the problem. With the War of the Worlds, again, that was always billed as a drama. But what had happened was, is that on that time slot, on that evening, there was usually a music broadcast that everybody tuned into halfway through after another show on another station had finished. So when they tuned in to what they thought was this music broadcast, it was War of the Worlds, this one-off special for the night. And even though it had been said at the beginning, this is a radio play, they just heard the music that was interrupted, and it sounded exactly like what would have happened if their show had been interrupted by an alien invasion, so to speak. So they were all fooled by it. I just find it quite coincidental that exactly the same thing happened to both shows. Sorry.
It kind of cements a legend, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, this will go down in television history, no doubt about it, you know. And for me, it's also a testament to just how effective it is. I mean, it's all, it's difficult to look back at it now, having seen, you know, Blair Witch, The Bay, Paranormal Activity, all the found footage stuff, and much more advanced horrors in both terms of actings and special effects and staging. However, if you got yourself in the mindset of someone who'd settled down to a night in front of the television, who just thought they were going to watch who were just flicking the channels, it's a remarkable effect for something like that to have on the entire population of a country. So much so that the BBC had to say that they will not show it again for a decade.
And it did have, people were able to call in as well. And even though they were told when they called in that it wasn't real, it was, whether it was portrayed as a drama or not, when you watched it, it looked like a proper reality. I suppose it wasn't really reality TV, but a real TV call-in show, and people were calling in. So although they weren't out, they say they weren't out to deceive people, they obviously were expecting some people to think that it was real.
And you might not... Sorry, go on.
Because they had the number there, the call-in number, and you were able to call it. If it was a drama, that number wouldn't have worked, or I don't know. To me, it seems like they were trying to deceive.
Did you know what the call? Did you know what the call
in?
Yeah, thank you.
I know.
It was the live and kicking number. It was 0818181881.
Yeah. I still know that song.
So that was the same. For those of you who don't know, that was the Saturday morning BBC Kids TV show that lasted for like 3.5 hours, and every child in the country watched every Saturday morning, no matter what. And that was the phone-in number. We all knew that number, and there it was. That was an extra bit of credibility. That says you phone this number, you will get to the BBC, and there will be somebody there to take your call.
It makes sense in a way, doesn't it?
Mm.
Instead of making one up, people could just go, oh, that must be the BBC live number.
Yeah, exactly.
The live shows that are on use that number. They all have the same switchboard. That's how you get through to the live people.
Now, did any of you come across on YouTube the Points of View episode that covers this?
No.
No, I bet it was funny.
Again, for those of you who haven't heard of it, Points of View is a BBC TV show. I don't think they have it anymore. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But it's basically, it was a sort of 10-15 minute show once a week where they'd answer letters that the BBC had been sent about programmes, pretty much. Where you'd complain about something and Anne Robinson would tell you to shut the fuck up. That was pretty much it. And my favorite.
She used that language.
I think she might have done actually a few times, and everyone really? Was too scared to actually complain about her. I think.
Thinking about it, it's probably the most British show ever. It's a TV show where people phone up and moan about how bad the television is.
Yeah.
Yep.
The television's bad. I'm going to phone the television and tell it. And then maybe the television will play a recording of me saying how bad it is.
I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
That was really a thing.
The epitome of British.
But if you want to see it, it's on YouTube, and it's the Points of View segment following Ghostwatch. And my favourite bit is where they've had one person write in and go, it's not fair to make fun of people who live in haunted houses, because some people do live in haunted houses. And it's not fair to make fun of them. And you think they were taking the piss when they put your letter on air, love. Oh, dear. Oh, some people live in haunted houses. Leave them alone. They've got enough to deal with. Okay, that's good. That's not us causing PTSD on small children. Oh,
I know, that's the least of their problems, isn't it?
Yeah. That
I mean,
really
should we
is.
Mention the effects that it had on people in more detail?
It wouldn't hurt. It's saying here on IMDb, earned the dubious honour of being the first TV programme to be cited in the British Medical Journal as having caused post-traumatic stress disorder in children. That's no small thing. That's worse than any episode of Doctor Who, isn't it?
Oh, much so. I mean, it's another thing where, like, yeah, it looks ropey nowadays, but if you were there in front of the telly not expecting this, it's but a testament to just how shocking it is. And it's not only the PTSD. It did, unfortunately, and it is tragic, someone did kill themselves because of this show.
That's the thing, though. The effects and the ghostly bits weren't the ropey bits of the show, or still aren't the ropey bits of the show, in my opinion, because they don't rely on special effects or anything like that. They just, you know, they were creepy because they were shadows and, you know, lights going off and things like that. So, I think this would have really freaked me out when I was a kid if I'd seen this. So I can completely understand why kids did get scared. But there's a bit in the show where Michael Parkinson tells, someone rings in and says their kids are like staring at the TV and won't turn it off. And she keeps trying to tell them to go to bed and they won't go to bed. And Michael Parkinson says, it's past the watershed. They shouldn't be watching this. So, surely, yeah. Why were people letting their kids watch it anyway? It
That's
must
really
have been
good, yeah.
Quite late.
That's a great address to the viewers, isn't it? Just in case shit is about to get real, send your kids to bed. Yeah. That's basically what Parky is saying.
But this was the BBC. Even we might have been past the watershed. Fair enough, we were past the watershed. But
and the problem is, it was Avuncular Parky as well who was saying it. And if Parkinson's going, this is going to get a bit dodgy, then you go, oh, Parky is an old man. He probably just means someone's going to fall over in a minute.
It could be anything. I already didn't trust him at that point because, do you know what? He'd been rude to the woman in the studio with him. And you just thought, he'd never speak to somebody like that.
Yeah, he was a bit harsh at some points with her, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And they were also all ganging up on her as well, because they had that American guy come on, the skeptic, and he basically told her that she was nuts and that she was lying. And then Parky started on her as well.
It made sense to me that he called her out, because at that point, the child had we had caught the child banging on the pipes. So it's natural for him in a live show to say, come on, love, this is garbage. Does it not?
I thought just after that, he was really, really harsh when he was basically interrogating the little girl. He was being proper Parky mean and pursuing a question until he got an answer.
There's no such thing as Parky mean. He's not Jeremy Paxman. He's Michael Parkinson.
He's Parky.
If you found out he was your granddad, you'd be overjoyed. He's that level of nice. You wouldn't, even if he had an obvious nutter on his show, at no point would you expect Michael Parkinson to do that sort of thing. He sells life insurance to people who are nearly dead now on television, telling them they can have a free Parker pen just for inquiring. That's how trusted he is.
Parker are great pen makers, so they are. He must be a good guy.
Exactly. And that insurance is only good if you die in the next 3 to 5 years, by the way. So it's kind of, if you're feeling a bit shaky, if you think this winter's going to be a bit too harsh, now you start paying in. Quite depressing, really. But that's what he does. And I think he still interviews people, doesn't he? He does it for Sky now. Where are we then? I don't want to drag this out too long. I know it's there's not a lot to say about it because...
I'm happy with this being a love letter to the show. I thought it was just fantastic. I thought the way Pipes was integrated into the show was great, and that you certain points where you could spot him wonderful.
I'm absolutely stunned at your reaction to this, you know.
Why?
Because it's awful.
It's not awful.
But
it's great.
I expected kind of weird bewilderment from Scott. Kind of, I expected Laura to kind of not be happy with me a little bit for putting her through this again. Ian, I'd heard from as he watched it, so I knew he was going to laugh at it. But I didn't know where you'd sit as a sort of a horror fan, and I'm kind of surprised that you like it. But
well, fair as enough. A horror fan, I think I'm very accepting of all different forms of horror, from Texas Chainsaw Massacre right through to the fairly tame-ish Poltergeist. It doesn't try to be, you know, revolting and terrifying and like an assault on the senses. It wants to be creepy and weird, and it wants to be unsettling, and it wants to be a little bit more subtle than blood and guts. Its aims, I think, are achieved. And to judge it by aims, to judge it by standards that we have today that weren't applicable back then, is a bit wrong. So from a 1992 viewer's point of view, knowing what it set out to do, I think it achieved it very well.
I find it hard to argue with you there. Does anyone else want to have a go?
I agree with what you're saying, but my only sort of my criticisms of it are aimed more towards the acting than the setup or the effects or the general feel of the show. I just thought there were moments where I was taken out of it by the poor acting.
Do you know, I think Sarah Green has an acting voice, and it's even weirder because she's playing Sarah Green. But there was definitely, that's not how she speaks. That it's her voice and everything, and it's the kind of words she would say. But I think if she was genuinely presenting it, it would have sounded different, and it became obvious that she was acting just because of her voice. Maybe I don't remember her voice all that well. It's very strange. She kind of just, her and Mike Smith, actually, they're both apparently still alive and fine. But married to each other. But they just were huge on everything. And then one day, suddenly, no more Mike Smith and Sarah Green. They were just gone. And I've not seen them since 1992.
They're two people who I assumed that they were probably famous, but I have no idea who either one of them are.
Really?
No, I have no memory of them on television at all.
They were both.
I don't remember them either.
Enormous. In the 80s.
Let me find some things. I bet, like you say, Rich, I remember them, and then all of a sudden, they just disappeared.
Yeah. See, Mike Smith did Breakfast Time on BBC.
So the last may be a shock, but I don't remember them either. No recollection whatsoever.
Yeah,
The last thing we remember of them was around October the 31st, 1992. Coincidence?
Yeah.
And then they disappeared without a trace.
For all I know, Sarah Green is still under the stairs in that house.
I was going to say, she went into the glory hole and she never came out again.
Call the sun.
I knew someone was going to say it, and I...
Can I ask?
I felt dirty being the first one to bring up that term.
Can I ask, did you all spot the ghost in all its appearances? The ghost who is played by an actor with the finest name I've ever heard, a Mr. Keith Ferrari.
Ferrari.
At all. Not once.
I saw him a few times, but I didn't get all of them. I went back later and had a look, and I missed quite a few of them.
I missed all of them.
I caught a couple. I had to back it up once to make sure that I saw what I thought that I saw, but a few here and there.
I was trying to look for them, but I didn't see. Apparently, there were like 8 or 9 appearances, and I definitely didn't see 8 or 9.
There's 8 confirmed ones, but the director apparently did some presentation of it recently at a film night in London somewhere, and he said there are possibly up to 13 appearances of the ghost.
Oh, God, I didn't see 13. The film.
He really is called Keith Ferrari.
Yeah. Cracking name.
That's amazing. He has one acting credit, and it's this. That's spectacular.
There's a successful career for you.
Ever, combined with the most exciting surname ever.
Wow. Keith Ferrari. Now I'm just thinking of boring names combined with supercar names, like Alan Lamborghini. Bob Veyron. Yeah, you could go on all day with this. Let's draw this to an end. I, because we've done it as a movie, you should see, let's give it a score out of 5. And let's just go. So let's start with Scott. Let's go in the order that we started with.
Yeah, there is a large part of me that wants to go higher than this, but I have to stick with what we got rather than what we wanted it to be or what it could have been. I'm going to have to go with a 3 on this one.
Fair enough. That sounds good. Was it Laura next? It was, wasn't it?
Just for pure entertainment value and the fact that there were bits of it that creeped me out, I'm going to give it a 3 as well, but it only just gets a 3.
Fair enough. I can't argue with that either. Rob?
Well, considering that this film had more of a terrifying effect on people than both the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Exorcist combined, it's really got to be a 5 for me.
Wow. Wow. Well, you're right is to have that vote and give it what you want, you know. I have no veto power here. You want to come in and give Ghostwatch a 5, that's your business, dude. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Scared a year with the light, a year. Seriously.
Exactly. For that reason.
I'm honestly at the point where if I were to ever meet the writer or director of this, I might just punch them in the face and then apologize, but say, I kind of owed you that. And I like to think that they might go, yeah, I know, I get it all the time. It's all right. It's all right.
You kind of want to punch them in the face and congratulate them simultaneously.
Yeah.
On a job well done.
I'd settle for just punching them in the face, though. Ian,
gonna have priorities and tell them that it was a good show. Well done.
Yeah, give it a mark out of 5, Ian.
Because we don't do half marks. I think because, like I said, it was awful and ridiculous, but so much fun. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. That gives it a score of 15. That means Ghostwatch is a movie you should see.
It's yeah!
It happened. It happened.
Just I think it. That's scarier than the actual program.
Yeah, I know.
That it's a movie you should see.
It officially is. I don't know what I did there. I was playing with fire.
Hold on a second, Rich. What is the score required to qualify as a movie you should see?
I believe it's 12. Okay. Hang on, let me look at what Rounders got, because that's the only film we've done so far that wasn't one. I just have to wait for Evernote to load, which apparently takes until the next Ice Age.
If the BFI saw fit to release it on DVD, I think that's also a sterling commendation. It's the BFI.
That's very true. Let's see. I have. Oh, no. That's. Oh, for God's sake. I can't keep track of anything in Evernote anymore. I apologize for this. I have these apps that are supposed to make me, like, really organized and stuff, and they don't, you know. They just give me a new thing that isn't organized. I have a note that is. Ah, there we go. Right. So, Rounders got 11. It's 12. It is 12.
Oh, okay. So the score for Ghostwatch is 14, if I'm doing my math right. We get 3 threes and 1 5, meet 14. So if 15
did I do
was
my
the,
maths wrong? Sorry.
Because if 15 was the qualifier, then we would have had to appeal the score and go back to the judges on it.
Absolutely.
But 12, all right.
Our host has appalling basic math skills. We need a recount. That's
entirely reasonable. Can do maths.
I have an
either
A-level
that
in
or
physics.
Your only American guest is really, really cocky to correct the host's math. That could be it.
No, you should do it. Please, if you ever spot anything like that, jump in. Because my inbox can't take that kind of abuse later. And I'd have to
what
go
would
back.
You have given it, Rich?
What would I'd have... Oh, that's difficult.
Considering it is a TV affected your life for a year.
It's difficult to say based on that it's rubbish, isn't it?
It really is.
Because
I mean,
you can't. It did what it set out to do. However, I kind
of... You can't
of,
slag off a roller coaster for not giving you an intellectual thesis on life.
No, that's true. I'm going to give it 4. I will give it 4. On my rating system of, if someone says to me, I'm thinking of watching Ghostwatch, should I bother? My reaction would be, oh no, you should watch that. Just so that you've seen it. And oh no, you should watch that is a 4. 5 is, how have you not seen that? 3 is, oh, that's okay. So 4 for Ghostwatch. So it would have gotten 15 there. Assuming that I replaced somebody who gave it 3, of course. Anyway, enough of basic math. Thank you for joining me on this show, guys. That was brilliant. And I'm kind of glad that I got to watch it again on my own in the dark, late at night. That was fun.
Have you managed to sleep since?
Yeah, I have slept since. But
with the light off?
Yeah, with the light off and everything. I'm okay now. I've got a dog and stuff. It's fun. I'm not scared of ghosts anymore.
You no longer fear Keith Ferrari?
No. Actually, I think I always will on some level fear for Keith Ferrari, but ghosts, no. I actually do work on the basis of if there was a ghost, Barkley would see it and bark before it did anything to me.
So if I say the word pipes, it's not going to freak you out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, let's go, because I'm just embarrassing myself. Really. Thank you again, guys. It's been awesome. For those of you listening live, we'll be back with another show in about an hour. And for those of you not listening live, you can listen to the next episode of this show on Simply Everything. Don't forget, if you're listening around the time of Halloween 2013, not far from the distant future, we've got t-shirts in our store that we need you to go and buy because it supports us. And you get a wonderful, cool t-shirt. And Ian's been waiting ages. So hurry
ages
up.
Ages and ages.
Ages and ages. If you want a hoodie, go and order it now, because if you don't, you're never going to get one. And we have done hoodies before, but that was 7 years ago. So don't wait another 7 years for us to do more hoodies. Go and get one now. Okay, then. That's got to be everything. We'll be back with another episode at some point in the future. Bye-bye, everybody.